Cyclone Nation. You are now tuned to the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast, presented by Mr. B Clothing. And now, here's your host, Chris Williams.
Hey everybody, welcome to the latest installment of the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast, here brought to you by Mr. B Clothing. It's warming up. Go brighten up your wardrobe at 1995 Northwest 86th Street in Clive. Go tell my buddy Tim Sitzman hello. And again, you got to look your best to be your best in this world. A guy who looked pretty dapper right now coming into the home office here in Bondurant. Brent Bloom, welcome to the podcast.
Good to be here.
Is it really good to be here?
Yeah, no,
it
is.
Would you rather be out like golfing?
Probably. I'd rather be golf. I golfed the other weekend.
How'd it go?
Actually, way better than I thought I would play. So I'm feeling good about the 2014 golf season.
Where did you golf?
I golfed out in Adele at River Valley Golf Course, a little 18-hole jaunt. Pretty.
Sounds easy.
It's not hard. As compared to some of the other courses in Des Moines, but it was a good first round of golf. Played with a couple of buddies, and we all actually broke 80. So it was kind of a formidable group on the first outing.
Sounds like you guys were just like your own little version of the Masters.
It was a little bit.
So here's the scenario, Fanatics. Bloom and I we are going to Florida this Sunday. We strategically booked the trip the day after the spring game to... For lack of a better phrase, to get the hell out of here.
Correct.
Is that accurate?
It's been a long winter. Good winter.
Yeah.
But a long
just,
winter.
You know, by the end of spring ball, you're just, you know, every year that night at trivia, I just kind of let loose a little bit too much.
Been there.
Find Twitter the next morning, a lot of pictures of me and people and not nude or anything like that.
No, a couple years ago, I think I got my photo with Jamie Vanderbeeken.
Nice. Big silky.
It was well worth the...
Did you hear Hoiberg on Murph and Andy today?
I missed it.
Oh, okay. So they asked him about like McKay being a true rim protector, and I just thought it was really funny because Hoiberg goes, we've had a 6'10 guy, but Jamie Vanderbeeken was not a rim protector. No, but anyways, I'm looking forward to this Florida trip. We didn't do it right, though, because we scheduled it. We're going to be traveling during the Masters. We're not going to see the end of the Masters.
We won't see the end of the Masters. We will see up until about whole... I thought about this today.
Yeah,
hole 15.
Ooh,
which you hope it's a blowout, or you hope we're on a flight and we won't be because it's Allegiant.
Do you
that has TV?
Does your mom? We're staying in your mom's condo.
Right.
Does she have DVR?
No.
I was gonna say because if we could tip like the cleaning guy to go in there and DVR it.
Yeah. I think we're out of luck. We're just going to have to catch the highlights when we get in. But there's no Tiger.
No.
We'll still both watch it, though. We're not one of those
Tiger-only
guys.
I'll watch it without Tiger. Tiger hasn't been in contention for a long time in a lot of these tournaments. He has been some, but not a lot of them, and I'm still interested. Who's your pick?
I'm going with Adam Scott to repeat.
He won't repeat. I like Adam Scott. Steve Williams, my Uncle Steve.
Since they've lengthened the course, I don't want to get all like golf analyst on you here.
No, I just asked for a pick.
It takes some guys out of the field, but Adam Scott's one of those guys who the long layout favors.
The Tiger proofing?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's one of those Tiger guys. Rory's, of course, another popular pick.
Before we get into spring football, some off-season basketball stuff, I do have a bone to pick with Bloom. So Bloom's the guy who booked our travel, and dude, I have awful luck at airports, people. I mean, I'm telling you, if I'm supposed to be on a flight, the thing is getting delayed for one way or another.
And I have fantastic luck traveling.
So Bloom, on our way back, now we're flying direct Sunday night. On the way back, Bloom books a flight with a 30-minute layover.
They're the one who I blame Travelocity.com because they said that's okay.
They don't care. I had a woman at the Houston airport, you know, when I was having my issues getting back from San Antonio, work for Delta, and she said that she basically told me that they plan on certain people not making their flights because they look at, and that's why they overbook. I feel like we're in that group.
We're going to make it. We're four younger adults. We've got good speed.
Will our luggage make it?
That's questionable. But we might. And if it's just in Minneapolis, it won't take very far to get back to Des Moines. The luggage. It'd be there the next day.
Have you ever not had your luggage get there? I've never had that happen.
I've never had that happen either. I've never had that happen.
We're screwed.
I think we're going to be okay.
All right.
I think we're going to be okay. We'll keep everybody updated because I'm sure they're very concerned about
they love it.
Whether or not we're going to make our connection.
Well, it's Easter the next day, you know? I mean, we got to get home, and I'm not going to get religious on you, but it's a big day.
We'll make it. We'll make it one
Christ
way or another.
Christ is risen indeed.
We're going to make it one way or another.
All right. So, yeah, anyways, it's a good announcement. Next week on the website, I'm gone. Bloom's gone. There's a pretty good chance Hoiberg will get some massive contract extension.
Iowa State's
going to sign like four prospects. You know, Alan Lazard is going to be cloned immediately.
The South end zone renderings will come out.
Yep. And there's going to be a giant statue of Dan McCartney placed somewhere on campus with an air bubble saying no doubt about it.
Real, real special.
But I do have to do this, though, Bloom. I have to take the computer because the Hoiberg thing is looming.
Yeah.
Something's happening with Hoiberg. He's getting an extension, a new contract. Not an extension, probably. He's going to get a new contract.
You think so?
He has to. You cannot continue to pay that guy what you're paying him now.
But he has received, I believe, a contract extension each of the past two off seasons.
Well, it's because he's earned it.
At what point does the contract then just become a one-year contract extension every time?
Once you get the guy where he's making the money he rightfully deserves. I mean, come on. I'm pretty sure Trent Johnson made more money than Fred Hoiberg.
I think he did.
That's ridiculous. Just get the guy so it's backloaded. It's a fair contract what they gave him last year, but it's still it's backloaded. So per year, like right now, Trent Johnson shouldn't be making more than Fred Hoiberg.
Anybody who is logical would agree with
correct.
You.
Correct. So just get him to the point where we have to do, and Fred's not a greedy man. I think we all know that. Just make it fair. Fair value. Fair market value. Cost less to live in Ames. You know, there's certain things. I'm not saying you got to give him John Calipari money. I'm not saying that at all. But just make it fair. And I don't think like it was a slap in the face, the one he signed last year. I think it was a good deal at that point. But I think, you know, they did more this year. Just fair market value. Do what you have to do to keep the man in Ames, Iowa. Whatever you have to do, that's the number one investment Iowa State can make in anything right now.
I think the number one question that would come out of that for the inquisitive folks is that buyout clause for the NBA.
Yep.
Which I would assume would not change.
No, that won't change.
So
Pollard's been very vocal about that. If he wants to leave for another NBA job, it's not money that's going to stop him from doing that. That is personal will. What do you want to do with your life? What do you want to do with your career?
And I don't believe the financial aspect of the NBA is the draw, because those guys, the top tier college guys, make more than 75% of the NBA guys, just for people's knowledge.
Well, yeah, and like the NBA contracts are so much shorter.
They're shorter.
There's a lot more security in the college game.
No doubt. Now, guys like Krzyzewski are making like $10 million a year. He's not the norm. But even some of your middle of the road guys are making most. I mean, Fred's what, two right now? $2 million?
Yeah.
Something?
Yeah, right around there. Yeah.
I think.
Well, that's over the course of the contract, though.
Right.
That's not what he made this
correct.
Year. It was like 1.2 this year.
But most of those guys now, your high level guys, are getting up into the 3.5-4 regions in college basketball, which is about NBA money.
I think Fred, if you get him to the point where he's making two per year now,
and then backload it to like three?
Yeah.
3.5?
That's fair. I mean, that's not egregious either.
No,
I was thinking afford that.
I should be able to.
And I know that if some folks in the Jacobson building heard me say that, they'd probably roll their eyes. But my point is, make it work. Allocate it. This is your number one investment. If you keep this guy, you saw what basketball did to the Iowa State fan base this year. The number one investment you can make in anything. Don't talk to me about an end zone. I don't care about practice facilities. Keeping this guy in Ames is the number one thing you can do to secure your future. And I'm Brent. Like, they could go, let's say they go to an NIT next year. Fans still going to support the guy.
Oh, yeah. He's got.
Yeah.
He's got a lot of leeway. Some would argue with you that football still makes more money than basketball.
Fine, but football is probably never going to win a national championship in Ames. Probably ever.
Yep.
They're not. Basketball could. You want to grow your fan base? What do you think Iowa State basketball did this year? Winning. Winning. I mean, you know what I mean? I'm not disrespecting football.
Saying. Yeah.
You get 55,000 people into Jack Trice Stadium. That's a nice little payday.
It would be interesting to get into a discussion of what has grown Iowa State Athletics brand more in the past 4 years. The Paul Rhodes upset specials.
Ooh.
Or Fred Hoiberg's resurgence of the basketball program.
Well, I can tell you by our website.
That's probably a really good barometer.
The football forum has gotten more hits over the last however many years.
Okay.
But that is slowly but surely leaning basketball's way right now. It's kind of hot, you know. I mean, March was the biggest month in the history of CycloneFanatic.com, and it wasn't even close as far as hits go. I don't know if that directly answers your question. We forget how hot the Rhodes thing was not too long ago.
Really? Really? Remember after Oklahoma State game? They were sizzling.
We had visions of sugar plums dancing in our heads.
But it goes to show that, one, we're all a victim of the now.
Yes. What have you done for me lately?
But two, if you can get them both at a high level at the same time, we've never really seen that. We saw it a little bit in 2000 when the men's basketball team got to the Elite Eight, and then the football team won 9 games the next fall. But rarely have they both been on the same plane of high level, well, because the football really hasn't been there really at all.
Yeah.
But what would Iowa State athletics be like if they could both be consistently in the top 25? I don't know. I think that's the goal. It is hard to, especially in football. But I wonder how much bigger the Iowa State brand can be if you get both those, because I think they both contribute equally in a way, especially the national reputation.
Well, you it's been proven over the last few years how hungry the fan base is.
They're ready.
I mean, football, you know, the season tickets, what you saw in Kansas City with basketball, it's a sleeping giant perhaps as far as a fan base goes. I don't know if they're asleep anymore, though. I mean, I think that the fans are very real.
This will be. I want to know how the season tickets go for football. I think they'll do okay, but coming off of 3-9, and there's some question marks with on the defensive side, and the offense has a brand new cast of characters. But how big is the Iowa State fan base coming off finally once, and it hasn't happened under Rhodes, where they did not have an even average year for their liking?
I don't think there's that big of a drop.
You don't think there's any drop?
No.
And that would be a great sign.
Now,
that would be a really great sign.
There's the same amount of buzz with the program. I don't think that there is. But I still think people are going to buy season tickets.
I hope so.
Because Iowa State does a good enough job of making it a fun day.
Oh, absolutely.
I don't think most Iowa State fans buy season tickets because they think they're going to go watch the Clones whoop up on Texas. I think more of it is a culture. You want to have your tickets. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I absolutely get
it. It's
what
an event. Football is an event. Basketball is more of the game. I don't know.
That makes sense. But I hope people are still supporting the football team.
No, they
because
are.
You know, they went 3-9 last year, but if you look back game by game, there were a couple that could have swung. I mean, they could have been a 5-6 win football team. They also could have been a 1-win football team because some of those I mean, I guess they handled Tulsa and Kansas, so two at the very least. But that West Virginia game went down to the wire. It's just, in order for Iowa State to keep growing at the rate they are, they still need to get that constant support. I don't know if they can afford, you know, a drop-off where Jack Trice isn't consistently over 50,000, especially with that new end zone. They have to keep it at that watermark that they have been.
Let me tell you this, though. I truly don't believe that Iowa State can do better than Rhodes. I know you're not saying that, yeah. But I've been reading a lot, and that Randy Peterson wrote that column, and it spurred some debate. I truly believe that the best thing Iowa State fans can do right now, what you're saying, is just continue to support. Regardless of what your opinion was last year, you know, realistically, because this guy's not going anywhere. He loves it here. We don't need to get into why Paul Rhodes is a great fit for Iowa State. We've done that.
But
he is, absolutely. And the worst thing, really, that could happen is what you're saying, is if season tickets drop below a certain number. And, folks, Iowa State isn't paying us to say this. This is our actual opinion here. I mean, because that's what keeps a guy there. Not that Rhodes has a ton of head coaching offers at this point after last season. But I still believe that he's the guy for the job. Now, he's hit a significant snag that he didn't really do in the first 3 years, where that's kind of where you would expect it. How are you going to bounce back from that? That's interesting. Again, what will be one of the toughest schedules in college football?
It's not going to be easy. With the defense, as situated as they are, they have Wally Burnham, which makes me feel better, but they're going to have to score points this year. It's just going to come to that. The defense cannot carry the weight, and some would argue they didn't carry the weight last year either. I still think they kept them in some games that they normally wouldn't have been in, but it's now the offense's time. And when you have a couple veteran quarterbacks there, their skill position talent is maybe the best that it has been in a decade up there. The offensive line is experienced. They're still iffy because they didn't exactly bring it much last year. But
man,
the offense...
when you look at a guy like that Dunning kid getting thrown out there,
it was impossible. Yeah. It was an impossible task. And I know it's a new set of coaching staff. There's a learning curve there. But they have to, Chris, in order to... I think a bowl game may not be 100% realistic, but it should be at least on the radar. They're going to have to finish in the top 60 offensively in the nation if they want to make that possible.
I think maybe even higher.
Maybe higher.
Because I have fears of this defense being like the Wayne Bolt years.
Yeah, well, and you're still got good coaching from Burnham and
Rhodes. I
don't know the depth. The depth is concerning.
Listen, you're relying right now up front on three junior college kids coming in the summer.
Yeah.
Which, Brent, this is a whole different conversation 2 months ago.
I know.
With Rodney Coe and Brandon Jensen in the mix. And Charlie Rogers.
I wonder when the majority of the fan base, who's not actively, you know, not actively browsing Cyclone Fanatic and some of the other news sources, will grasp onto that there's no more Rodney Coe, that there's no more Brandon Jensen, and that the depth there that they thought was coming into 2014 is just not there this year. So
I thought that defensive line was going to be as good of one as we've seen since 2005.
No question. Luckily, it happened now, and they have a chance to address some things, but Wally Burnham's got his work cut out for him. So does everybody else on the defensive side.
What do you... spring game coming up on Saturday. Cyclone Radio Network's on the air.
1:45.
Or you got 15-minute preview?
15-minute preview, and Paul Rhodes will be on with Ben Bruns before the game
Live?
Starts. Yes. Ooh. So if you're tuning in, don't tune in right at 2. Tune in beforehand if you want to hear from the head fellow.
KXNO has it. 1430 up in Ames has it. And then, actually, if you want to know, if you're sitting in Jack Trice and you'd like to listen, I posted a press release that Iowa State sent out. It's on the football forum. I did not put it on our front page. It's on our football forum, and you can find that. And I know it at all the Cyclone Radio Network affiliates listed there. Mr. B Clothing Podcast here at CycloneFanatic.com. Brent Bloom and I chatting it up before we head to Florida on Sunday. little vacation. So, again, that means, I mean.
All sorts of good news.
Yeah. I mean, there's some great stuff coming through the pipeline right now.
Normally, you're the one who's gone, and I'm kind of hold down the fort.
Yeah, you're backing me up.
But with both of us gone.
Think of all the great things that could happen.
Amazing. Prepare yourselves accordingly. Who will? Well, I guess you'll have your computer if the world ends in a good way.
I actually had that talk with my boss today, and I was like, dude, like.
You give him the keys to Gray?
No. God, no. God, no. See Gray throw up his Final Four predictions on Twitter the other night? No. And he was wrong on both of them. And then, like, all these people just started coming at him, and Gray's all ticked off because people were, you know, trolling him. Like, well, you put your picks up and they're wrong. I mean, what do you expect, buddy?
He is already started. I guess I started the war with him over the Braves and the Cardinals.
Well, that's your own doing.
That's my fault.
Cardinals.
Well, I was poking the bear, and the bear's now out of control.
Yeah. See, Adam Gray, who
I should have left him alone.
He's on this podcast quite often. I've never met a guy, and I love him. He's one of my best friends. But the guy can't be wrong.
He
can't be wrong.
He is a really smart guy. Just ask him.
So Bloom sends out this arrogant email. I mean, only a way that Bloom, Cardinal fan, can do it. About, like, the Braves. What was it about the Braves' offense?
Well, they scored, like, one run the first two games of the year.
Yeah. Total. So here you have Bloom talking trash on game two of 162, which is a. That's a play straight out of Gray's playbook, man.
That's why I did it.
So, and then Gray got really fired up, and unfortunately, it was like one of those annoying Twitter conversations where you're tagged on everything and you have to read everything. That was me in this email.
There's got to be a way to remove your. This is how we're going to make money, because it's not in journalism. Is setting up a feature in an email or a text message, like a group text message, where you remove yourself from the conversation. Because there's nothing more annoying, especially getting a group text message, where people continue to text back and forth, and you want no part of it, but it just logs in your phone.
Yeah, it's boring. Awful.
Terrible.
It's awful. Let's invent that.
Somebody smarter than us. We'll take credit, though.
Okay, so Hoiberg, listen, I don't think he's going to the Timberwolves, Bloom. A lot of people are concerned about that. I don't think he's going.
Well,
I don't think he can win there.
And there's the big factor, because Fred's smart. He's not going to take a job just to take a job.
Correct.
He would much
rather go to Sweet 16s at Iowa State than go to the Timberwolves and lose.
Because the average lifespan of an NBA head coach is right around 3 or 4 years. So if you want to make your mark, you have to win. And that's why, like, the Charlotte Bobcats could not fill their coaching vacancy last year. Because everybody knows they can't win there. So what's the point? What is the point in taking it? And the T-Wolves, yes, he has a great relationship with Kevin Love, but maybe not even that relationship, if Fred were to go up there, could keep Kevin Love in Minneapolis.
I mean, do you really think, though?
Even with Love, I don't even think Minnesota's a playoff team.
And I don't know anything about this. But, like, if you're Kevin Love, though, you have one NBA career that spans, what, a decade?
And you're, right.
Are you really going to put your big money contract on on a rookie coach just because he's your buddy?
And he would make more in Minnesota than he would anywhere else, but at this point, money's probably not
enough. But he wants
to
win, I'm sure.
Yeah, and I think he'll end up in L.A.
Really?
Because he's from there.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he's from Oregon, I guess. But he's going to wind up in a big market because he's a big market guy. And if you're the next coach of the Timberwolves, you're stuck with Ricky Rubio and Chase Buttinger and Gorgie Jang. I don't know if that's a winning hand. And so I would bet that Fred, like you said, Fred wants to win more than anything, and there's no question he'll win more at Iowa State than he would up in Minnesota.
You know what the most underrated stat from the 2013-14 Iowa State basketball season is?
You tell me.
Being ranked in the top 25 for essentially the entire season.
Pretty crazy. Since that Michigan win.
Yeah, because this thing about the moment, Final Four ends last night, and all the way too early predictions come out. Boom, you got Iowa State top 15, Gary Parrish. Boom, top 25, ESPN. Boom, top 25, Bleacher Report. That's how you start to, That's how you go from being a cute little story of the hometown boy saves your basketball program to being a legit program. That's how you do it, Bloom.
And those preseason rankings this early are silly.
They're ridiculous, but
they take the teams that were in the top 25 and they look and go, well, that Iowa State team's got three starters back and they're bringing in a couple of transfers. Yeah, I'm going to put them in the top 15.
And Hoiberg has got a reputation now as one of the best coaches in the game.
It makes total sense for them to be there. It's the first time they'll be ranked, I think you can comfortably say, because we know they will add transfers. It's just a matter of who.
Mm-hmm.
They will be in the top 15 in the preseason next year for the first time since 96. So this is unprecedented stuff. I mean, this is why there's legit reason to be excited about Iowa State basketball and why the loss stung to Connecticut. But I believe coming off that loss, people weren't angry. They were really excited for where this program is headed.
That night, though, what would you have said to me if I would have told you UConn's going to win the national championship?
You're crazy.
I know. Isn't that nuts? I mean, the NCAA tournament is a terrible gauge for the best team in the country, though.
No question.
It's horrible.
We had that conversation the other day, or I had it with somebody. The NBA playoffs
are a
completely better system of judging the
best
team. Probably more than any other league or college league.
It's better than the NFL. We were doing this at the bar the other night.
Yes.
At the St. Baldrick's event, we were talking about this.
It was all very
a little
funny.
Bit of a fuzzy evening, of course. Yeah. We raised some money, and then we got drunk.
It's what you do.
But, no, like the NFL, I mean, think of all how many teams that will go like 13-3 in the regular season. Then, you know, they get that bye week and they go to sleep and get bounced by the hot team.
And even in college, I think college football's up there as well, especially now, because you have to finish in the top four of the standings and then you're going to have the playoff system. But college basketball anymore, you can ride a hot streak like Connecticut did with those two guards. But they played great defense, which never gets talked about. But those guys defensively were as good as anybody in that tournament, and that helped them a lot, too. It's just, I don't think they're the best team in college basketball. I still don't.
Hell no, they're not.
I don't
Are
even,
you kidding me?
If I would re-rank the teams right now, they're probably like 7 or 8 for me.
I was going to say around 10.
But that is why we talked about it in February, why Iowa State had a legit chance to win a national championship,
yeah.
And why they still will. Because in the NCAA tournament, it comes down to who's hot and who has the matchups. And I think a healthy George Niang, Iowa State would have had a big matchup concern for every team they played. And you don't dwell on that because I think that's – I know a lot of Iowa State fans are going, well, if it was automatic.
That's hard. You don't even know if you beat UConn that night.
You don't know, and then you don't know if Michigan State game is – if they match up differently. So it just goes to show, though, that – If Iowa State continues at their rate where they're consistently getting to the tournament and in a top three or four seed, it'll break their way at some point.
Where do you want to go with this? Do you want to talk spring football some more? I think we've put a cat. Should we review the season? What was your favorite moment?
The basketball season?
Other than Kansas City and cutting down the Nets.
That was
epic.
Great.
I mean, that was
an
all-timer. Moment we'll remember forever, being able to cover that game.
I think anybody who was down there.
Just the whole aura around the Power and Light District.
I mean, that night afterwards, it was cool.
Oh.
All the Iowa State fans irritated. They irritated all the people wanting to celebrate St. Patrick's Day.
Oh.
Because you had the pockets of people who agreed.
Yeah.
Just getting pissed.
Yeah.
Like, who are all these clowns?
Yeah. Who are you people?
Why are you in my way?
Yeah. And you know, Clone Fan, they're not the they're not the quietest drunk.
No.
They don't just sit in the corner. It's you know, it's straight celebrate good time. And they're dancing and they're, you know, we had a lot of cowboy hats around.
Oh, man. Yeah.
They were. Boy, it was a wild time.
That was great. From a pure basketball moment, Kane's layup against North Carolina was awesome.
Yeah. Johnny Orr, Fred Hoiberg.
Yeah.
Fist
that
pump.
Was. Yeah, it's hard to believe that was this year. That's how long this year was. That was in November. That's crazy. I don't know. There are so many. The Naz long threes.
You know what gets on, you know, and I'm not saying this is like the best moment of the year, but from the season, a moment that lasted for about 30 minutes that people didn't talk about much was the you and I comeback.
Oh, yeah.
They were left for dead in that game, Bloom. Left for dead. They were playing like garbage. And I'm thinking to myself, oh, man, Rima and the calls is going to be so nauseated. The freaking Tavern Hawk, you and I fans are going to be all just be going nuts. I don't want to go out now after we got done working that night. And wow. What a change 30 minutes made in that one.
I was doing TV for that game.
Oh, yeah, you did do it.
So I was thinking,
were you Mr. Objective?
I tried to be, but even then I was like, what are we doing here? Because Nate Buss, who was at like 6'8", lanky forward,
yeah,
the human 2-iron, he had like 18 points in the first half, was just making everything he looked at.
Yep.
And Iowa State was just awful for 20 minutes, 25 minutes, and then they just turned it on. And that was... Looking back now, is there any way you and I would ever be in a game with Iowa State this year? You and I didn't make a postseason event.
Well, they did. They declined.
They declined it.
But, CBI.
But the fact that Iowa State was down by 18.
Yeah, they were getting killed. They were getting stomped.
Yeah, that was.
It looked like a completely different team.
The win against Iowa was cool.
The whole non-conference I thought was really fun because when you're 10-0, like who's to tell you what your ceiling is? You know,
right.
And I don't even care who you played. Like, Clone Fan is just going nuts at this point. And then you get to 14-0, best start in school history. I thought that the Christmas tournament was awesome.
That was because people were still wondering. We even said on this podcast.
Yeah.
It's hilarious. I was bored the other day. I mean, I should be working. But if you go back and you listen to some of the old podcasts,
yeah,
where you can kind of get a good gauge of the expectations and the feeling as the season went on. Because we went from, they're going to lose 3 or 4 games in the non-conference to, well, I think they'll probably lose a game in Hawaii to, are these guys for real?
Yeah.
And then they went in through the skid, and when they lost 3 games, you're like, yeah, we're thinking maybe 6 or 7 seed now. And then they figured it out, and you're thinking, well, what is the limit? And that was just the reaction of the fan base. It grew for a while, it dipped, and then it went back up. And then that Oklahoma State game, they struggled for 25 minutes in Hilton. They make the comeback, and from that point on, you really got a sense that nothing was going to stop those guys, and it didn't until the Niang injury.
Do you remember the DeAndre Kane ankle gate?
The ankle, yeah. When he tweeted the picture. And
yeah, and he was carried off the floor in Norman by his teammates and miraculously returned on Monday night to slay Baylor.
There's a great...
Was it Monday? Was it a Monday?
Yeah, it was a Monday.
Yeah, it was a Monday game.
It was a Monday. No, it wasn't against Baylor.
Yeah, it was.
No, it was he injured it against Oklahoma late.
Yeah.
And then Kansas was the next Monday.
Oh, you're
right.
The
big Monday game.
Yeah, you got it.
So they lost that game, but DeAndre was pretty good. But the funny, and we won't name names, funny part of Anklegate was a certain reporter for a local TV station. Illegally. Well, not illegally, because it's not illegal, but it's frowned upon. Went into Iowa State shoot around or open practice, not open practice, closed practice, and tried to get footage of DeAndre Kane in practice, and he had to be escorted out of the building.
Fun season.
Yes.
Fun times. I would say, though, for me, that the highlight was the Orr Hoiberg. You know why, Bloom? Because I've said numerous times on this podcast, I was not a huge Iowa State fan growing. I didn't go to Hilton Coliseum like you did. I'd never seen that. I didn't know. I didn't know what that was all about. And then just, with Johnny's passing later in the year really made things, I think, a little bit that much more special. I think Hoiberg would probably tell you the same thing about the significance of that moment. But, no, that was a fun year, though. Everybody got their money's worth.
No doubt. And really... You follow college sports because you want to be entertained, especially in Iowa in the winter when there's nothing to do and you're cold as heck and you're tired of shoveling snow. But the Cyclones and I guess Iowa for half the year until they fell apart provided a window of entertainment that was refreshing. It was nice. It carried you from November to here we are in April, and it was really Iowa State dominated for 4 months, and it was quite the ride. It's too bad it ended when it did, but only one team gets that championship, and for whatever reason, Connecticut made a deal with the devil or something because they've won 4 of them now.
And you just get that hot guard, Kemba Walker, little Shabazz,
like I said,
Monte Morris.
Iowa State's got Naz Long. Recruit more guys with Z in their name. You'd be amazed at the success.
That's a
Shabazz Napier.
All right, what are you going to watch for at the spring game? Quarterbacks, obviously.
Yeah, the quarterbacks.
I'd be honest with you.
I don't know
I'm not really that excited about Saturday. And it has nothing to do with the program or anything. I just... The spring game is it gets more boring every year.
Yeah, I hope they make it a little more...
They're not going to do anything offensively with Mangino. They want that to be a mystery.
But nobody, frankly, it's not on TV.
I don't blame them. Why isn't it on TV? Is that a Rhodes thing, you think?
I'd lean that way.
Yeah.
I don't know for sure.
Yeah.
Devari Montgomery, anxious to see that guy. You know, the receiver.
Yeah.
From
6'5", 200.
See what they have there. Wimberly's always fun to watch. He's got the juice.
Does he do much? Boy, I don't want to run him out there too much.
I guess you don't want to get him hurt.
Put a green jersey on that guy. You need him.
Some of the redshirt freshmen. I guess Brandon Harris has had a good spring. Is it Brandon Harris, the receiver?
Yeah, I heard about him. Adjumumbe? He's a baller. I've been told that he's legit. Expect him to play.
Here's my thought. The facility now, their new facility, should start to pay some dividends with this group. This group of young guys. So hopefully there's somebody that jumps up that's a redshirt freshman or a redshirt sophomore or whatever, a sophomore that surprises people and can make a headline. Maybe it's Ajimobi. Maybe it's Harris. Moya, the safety.
Now, he's a guy who's legit. I think he's really good. I remember Rhodes even on Monday Night Call-In show talking him up. Right before he tore his Achilles.
Pardon my ignorance, but wasn't he the guy who got shot? I think he was.
I actually think it was.
Okay. What? No, I mean it wasn't his. He obviously wasn't his fault. I think he got
caught
in a bad spot.
Yeah.
Right. That's. I mean, I don't want
to. I don't know for sure
to the young guy, but I think that's.
He's a good player. They really like him.
Mutcherson has been there. It seems like for 5 years. T.J. Mutcherson.
You know who
he finally
reminds me
due to do something.
He reminds me of David Sims, the
all
type
sorts
of player.
Talent. Yeah,
yeah.
He
just
knows
just
where he's going.
It's all upstairs. Figure it out, young man. And once he does that, here's a better comparison. He's Jeremiah George, but a strong safety.
It's just so much talent in that guy. And I like Nigel Tribune at the corner.
Oh, he's great. I'm a big fan of his.
If Mutcherson can figure it out, and Moya is as good as we've heard he is. Who's that other corner? Is it Sam Richardson, probably?
It's Ken Lynn. Apparently Ken Lynn about housed one in the scrimmage the other night, whatever that means.
The secondary could be okay. I think they'll be talented.
Boy, I'm not confident with that other corner.
It's the Ken Lynn, Sam Richardson.
Why didn't they play more last year?
Well, Sam Richardson played quite a bit.
Why isn't one of those guys
Watson was hurt.
Claimed it, though? You know what I mean? Maybe they're just really... I've been told by many people that Ken Lynn might be the fastest guy on the team. He's right up there. They just... I wish they had more size.
Now it's their time.
It is their time. And Jeremy Reeves, you know, is a comparable timetable, and he turned out... He was an undersized guy who turned out to be pretty good. Sam Richardson's
Watson
a guy they... I think they really... He kind of does remind me of Reeves in that way, though.
Not quite as athletic, and I think that's... But he's a little taller.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Reeves was lightning fast.
Took Watson, Jansen Watson, a little bit. He turned
into
a pretty
good
corner.
Yeah, that's the guy... That's the deal, yeah. Jansen Watts is the guy I was missing from last year.
With
Charlie Rogers being gone.
I know, that's a...
But you know what? I heard it probably wasn't going to work out if he stayed.
You got to go with the guys who...
Want to be there.
Want to be...
Want to work hard.
That's life right there. If they don't want to be on... I mean, what's their... I know it's been beaten into the ground, but it's all in.
The way in.
They live that motto.
Yeah, and you know what? And that's the thing with Rhodes. I don't really blame him for the Rodney Coe deal. I don't blame Rhodes at all. I actually give him credit for standing up for the program and it's what it stands for. But damn, how much did Rodney Coe have to do? You know what I mean? Because he's as important part of that defense as you can find. And, I mean, he really had to press it.
I want to know, but I don't want to know because then it'll just make me mad.
It's probably fairly ignorant and, yeah. But again, I don't really blame Rhodes for that because I think you do have to enforce your rules on everybody. Otherwise, you lose credibility in your own locker room.
And we've seen with Rhodes before, he's not just going to suspend a guy or kick him off a team just because the public's against him. Everything he does has had a reason. I mean, there's some
David Irving.
Yeah, like he kept
him. He knew damn well what he was doing.
He was right with that situation. So whatever happened with Rodney, I trust that Rhodes made the right logical decision, and he's got to know what's best for his locker room. It maybe might not help the production on the field, but you've already heard it from a couple guys. Wally, I think, said it on Saturday, said that the attention to detail and the eagerness to learn has been a little bit better with this group so far this spring than in years past, and you hopefully maybe they figure it out, and I know the talent might not be as good, but Jesse Smith didn't have a whole lot of talent, but that guy knew where he was supposed to be.
Yeah, the Peters reminds me of him a little bit, just
and
the way
he's fun. Like that's a reason to come on Saturday.
Yeah, watch Peters blow people up,
throw people around.
You remember him in that Kansas State game? He was like
game was awful,
like suplexing guys,
except for him.
All right, let's talk about like some important things here. Vacation. Are we gonna stop? We get there on what, like 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock,
9 o'clock.
You got any, this is kind of your stopping grounds.
All right, well,
we've
got
to an establishment.
We've
that
got
night?
Spots. Yeah, we've got.
Got a couple spots.
They don't know me by name, but
it's pretty
sure they want to.
Every time you go down there, I end up getting all these wild text messages. And
well, because it's you can't drive anywhere really. It's all trolley. That's it for those Fort Myers Beach. Nice little place. It's not crazy spring breakish, but it's.
See, I went.
It's good for
I honeymooned at Sanibel,
which is right up the.
But I never really spent much time at Fort Myers Beach. I went out to dinner there one night. We walked around, but that was about it.
No, we'll have a good time. Just the question is, do we go golfing?
I think we have to.
You're right, because we'll get sick and tired of
the women.
Not, yeah, the ladies, which God love them. But you can only spend so many hours in a day on vacation with the same
person. This is true.
Person.
This is true. I thought about the Yankees are playing Tampa, but I don't know if I want to be in a car for that long.
2 hour drive.
That seems a little much to me to watch two baseball teams I really don't care about.
Or it's a 2 hour, 20 minute drive to Miami.
Ooh.
And there's obviously a plethora of seats available in Miami.
Are the Braves in town?
They're not.
Damn
the
it.
Nationals.
Oh, I hate the
so
Nationals.
You could go
little brother.
You could go boo Bryce Harper.
Little brothers in town. Little brothers hanging out in Miami that night. Interesting.
You do not like the Nationals.
They're my least favorite franchise in all of sports. They've surpassed the Packers
more than the Cardinals.
Oh yeah, I hate the Nationals way more than I hate the Cardinals.
Is there a
likable? I don't hate the Cardinals. I hate their fans.
Is there a likable guy on the Nationals? Like I don't like Harper. I know he's talented. I just don't care for his act.
LaRoche
is harmless.
Jason Worth might be my least favorite baseball player. You're a Philly, and then you're a National.
Zimmerman seems kind of arrogant.
From now on, we just refer to Little Brother as the Expos, okay? the Washington Expos are in town.
They stole a team from Montreal. French Canadians.
I just can't stand Little Brother. They just they make my skin crawl. So didn't you say, though, there's like a Fort Myers like AAA team?
No, it's a single A. The Florida,
how's that?
The Gulf. It's fun. Man. Cheap beer.
How cheap?
$3.
I mean, oh, I can handle that.
Bush Light cheap without the Bush Light.
I can handle that.
You can adjust okay? No Bush Light down in Florida.
Well, I've been doing it for the last month, Bloom. We go to Kansas City, and you can't buy a Bush Light there. They send me down to San Antonio, and... you can't find a Bush Light anywhere.
No Bush Light in San Antonio.
Now, apparently,
what'd they have?
There were some clone fans that were telling me on Twitter, if you go off the beaten path a little bit, you could find it in rest areas or whatever, or like gas stations. But I wasn't going to do that. You know, I was right on the river. It was walking distance. I didn't have a vehicle. And then in New York, I mean,
no Bush Light.
The bar right across the street from the hotel, which was right by Madison Square Garden. I mean, this nice gal. She was Irish. I asked her I just legitimately ordered a Bush Light, and she looked at me like, I mean, it was the most blank stare I've ever gotten from anybody in my life.
You might as well just, like, did some Jim Brinson game on her. See, it probably would have gone over better.
They don't have it in Florida, though? Really? I'm truly asking you this. I figured that they would.
I have never seen it. I have never looked for it.
Because I was going to do the old summer beer. Buy a little Vodka, some Bush Light. Do it upright. That's what my plan was.
So I saw your tweet about Bush Light being the number one beer in
Iowa. Yeah, did you see that? Check that out.
Yeah, but I've never understood. What is the connection between Bush Light and Iowa if it's made in Missouri? How did it end up being an Iowa favorite? I never understood that.
That's the same question you could ask about Bud Light.
Well, but Bud Light's a national brand. They don't market Busch Light. But why is it popular in Iowa? It's not a hipster thing because there's
no. It's not a hipster thing at all. It's real people drink Busch Light.
But how
Iowans are real people. We appreciate the finer things
the
in life.
It's not the taste of Busch Light.
Why? What's wrong with the taste?
Is it the fact that Iowans are economical?
I think so. One of the top places in the world to live is Des Moines, Iowa.
Des Moines not where Busch Light's being consumed.
To hell it isn't. You look at that map, it was the entire state. It's being consumed everywhere.
The outlying areas.
I once golfed at this. It was a Cyclone Radio Network golf outing 2 years ago. They always stick me. Usually I'm with you. You were on my team last year. But I always get stuck with the doll distributing guys for some reason. They throw me with the beer dudes. And this guy was telling me about how much Busch Light is sold. I mean, it's a top seller.
But why?
It's not necessarily the top seller in the state. This deal we're referencing is Twitter, what people are tweeting about, which I like to think I might have a small part in the Twitter poll because, seriously, like, I love it, Fanatics. Keep doing it. But before, like, every football game, I'll have, like, 10 people tweeting me pictures and like shotgunning a Busch Light. Like, I had like five guys before WrestleMania the other night. My boy Ted Flint in Kansas. Yep. Yeah. He's tweeting me photos of him drinking a Busch Light watching WrestleMania.
It was hilarious though, hanging out with you in Kansas City at the at the country bar. I'm not making this up. Probably a dozen to 25 different people came up and go, man, I was going to buy you a Busch Light, but they don't have it.
They didn't have it.
They're like, what do you want?
How do you have a country bar in Kansas City and not serve Busch Light?
And the folks were legitimately like, they felt bad for you as if you were unable to drink anything else.
I had to choke down Coors that night, which is weird. Because Busch Light's kind of like the younger brother of Bud Light, but I prefer Coors Light over Bud Light, which is bizarre. Anyway, we got way off topic there. But
expect four transfers next week.
Four transfers.
A new contract.
Rodney Coe reinstated to the football team. again, the Dan McCarney statue, Central Campus.
Stephen Leith named a House of Representative. No,
Zing!
That won't happen. He's a president.
What would you rather be?
A president of Iowa State or the House of Representatives?
Probably the president, I would think, right?
You get paid better as a president.
Which is more prestigious?
That is a good question.
I think a
senator is more prestigious than the president of a...
So would you rather be the senator or the Iowa State president?
Prestigious-wise?
Yeah.
Or me?
No, just prestige-wise.
Oh, there's only 100 senators.
Yeah.
Now, there's 440 House of Representatives.
Yeah, I don't...
I think I'd rather be a president of a lame...
The House is pretty lame, if you ask me. I mean...
And you only get 2 years. It's kind of like a one-year contract for a reserve.
What do you think our guy Jack Whitford would rather do?
Be the president of...
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. It's going to be... Whitford, he's going to move up the chain.
I think Whitford is our next governor. That's what I'm campaigning
for. Without getting too political, he's one of the smartest men I've ever met.
Okay, so if Whitford becomes governor,
okay,
what are the chances you and I get out of sports media and be on Whitford's cabinet?
Well,
you think Whitford brings us on?
If he was smart, he wouldn't.
We've both done radio with him for...
Going back like a decade now. Which makes us very qualified to make policy decisions.
Well, I mean, if that doesn't, what does? We clearly have good chemistry, good rapport with Jack, with the governor.
It would be amazing if somebody went from the Cyclone Reaction Show to either the governor or the House of Representatives or the Senate. I think there's a direct correlation.
Is there another radio network in the country that can claim that?
Special things happen.
What if three of us went from the Cyclone Radio Network to being either governor or on the governor's cabinet? I'll be his press secretary. You're a little more See, I can handle that BS, the media. You're more well-equipped to handle some policy, I would think, than I am. So you could be like the lieutenant governor.
The state of Iowa would never be in better shape.
I feel like you and Whipper would make a formidable team, and I would get your message out effectively.
Can you handle the, you know, those news reporters, though? They're dogs.
Oh, yeah, I can handle them.
You could handle
them
okay?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Have you seen House of Cards?
No, I haven't. Okay. Well, you know what I did? You know what, Bloom? I did the Netflix thing.
You got to hop into that.
I got out. One month, did my free trial, I got out.
You got to do it. You got to get back in.
The movies suck.
Now, I know. But for a month, okay, you and your wife, watch the two seasons of House of Cards. Thank me later. And for those who haven't seen it, it's worth the $8. Jump on in. You can thank me.
I can't right now.
Well,
I had a incident.
With your electronics?
I bought a new TV. It was a Samsung smart TV like 3 months ago.
Those smart TVs aren't worth the investment, by the way.
Thank you. Well, I bought the TV.
So you get like Netflix on the TV?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's actually really cool. You can pull Facebook up, whatever, which I don't really do.
Well,
Pandora.
Well, nobody does. Nobody. Did you ever use that function?
Actually, yeah.
Okay.
WWE Network.
Well, you can buy an Apple TV for $100 and do the same thing, but or Roku or yeah. Continue with your
Quit
story.
Quit criticizing my purchase.
Okay.
It's a good TV. Nice TV. Great picture. Very happy with it. Yesterday, it just refuses to turn on. I'm like, what the hell? So I call up Samsung. And they're just a pain in the butt. This woman's in India or something, and she's horrible. I get like the chat person on the internet, and they're just rude. I think it's a computer chatting with me, based off of how that was talking, because no real human being talks like that. So then I take it into Best Buy where I bought it, and these guys are great. Ankeny Best Buy, they're fantastic. And so they get Samsung on the. So like the Geek Squad says, well, it's your power, like the. The power thing is just completely out. It's a lemon. You got a dud TV. We'll get you a new one.
Stuff 3 months in?
Yeah.
That's brutal.
Manufacturer warranty for a year. So then they get Samsung on, and Samsung's like, no, you cannot give him a new TV. You have to send it to us in Atlanta so we can make sure that I didn't set this thing up for some stupid reason. Oh, just a pain in my butt.
So you had to send, they had to send.
Yeah, I don't have my TV now.
And you don't know if you're going to get refunded?
I know I'm going to get, they're either going to fix the TV.
Or you get the refund.
They're either going to fix the TV or give me a new one.
But how long is that going to take?
They said 2 to 4 weeks.
You need a TV.
Yeah. I was not let me tell you, the gal on the phone with Samsung, I gave her the business. It's just so dumb. But nonetheless,
that's irritating.
My problem.
Did you have a Grant Rohatch to sub in for Sam Richardson though?
I do, but now here's the issue: as you saw when you walked in tonight, I'm trying to get the mount like back to fit that TV because they're different sizes.
So you had to take the TV off and reapply the mount.
Yeah, just an epic disaster on all sorts of levels.
Hang in there, big guy.
Thanks, brother.
That's why they have Bush Light.
We appreciate it. Folks, thanks for listening to the podcast. I know we got off topic there at the end, but listen, we are straight vacation mode. We're ready to take off. And
you what? Everyone out there, you should be on vacation mode too.
Yep. Get the spring game done. Kick your feet up. Wait for the Hoiberg contract. All the good stuff that's coming next week.
It's going to be good stuff.
He's Brent Bloom. My name's Chris Williams. Thanks for listening to the Mr. B Clothing Podcast here at CycloneFanatic.com. Take care.